T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dale. And yourself?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I'll start with a simple question. Does the NFL ever settle with anybody?
No, other than the concussion litigation, where the league clearly didn't want records to come to light because of the pretrial discovery process that would have led to the league having to turn over information that probably would have become public. The league never settles. The league didn't settle with, of course, Tom Brady, despite the fact that it was a controversy that science had debunked. Even then, the league didn't want to settle the case and save face. And then with other players involving more serious issues like Ezekiel Elliott and Adrian Peterson, the league not only arbitrates, but also litigates, spending a lot of money on attorneys and just spending a lot of time and bandwidth. And yet here they cut a deal with Kaepernick, which I think leads one to expect that the league may have been concerned about some of the potential disclosures.
And how tough is it to prove collusion in a case like this?
Rich, it's hard. I mean, the reality is that the standard favored the NFL because Kaepernick had to show a clear preponderance of the evidence, which isn't mathematically put into play. It's not necessarily 75%, but it's more than in a civil trial. And Kaepernick had to have enough evidence to really persuade the arbitrator, Stephen Burbank. I'm not saying he didn't, but the standard definitely favored the NFL, which makes me think that the league probably thought it would have won, but that a decision about the grievance would have been damaging. Maybe it would have referenced owners' comments that might have seemed racially insensitive. Again, I'm just speculating. Or maybe there are emails or text messages. So what could have happened is that the NFL could have won the grievance but lost the PR battle because of what could have come out.
The terms of the settlement have been kept secret on the part of both sides, and yet what we know for a fact is that the Green Bay Packers are a publicly traded company. At some point down the road, we're going to find out what 1/32nd of the settlement amount is because the Packers have to make that public. We're going to know the amount sooner or later, right?
Probably, although some of those filings, things can be grouped together. So the actual entry in which they pay a share may not become apparent. And also, it depends on what fund it comes from. We don't know the league's source of funding for this payment. I don't know if that's going to be the vehicle to getting information. I think it's more likely that it will just leak at some point, despite the non-disclosure. And the attorneys involved aren't going to be the leakers because they could get in a lot of trouble if they are found to be the leakers. They could get in trouble with the state bar. I think it's more likely that it just comes to light through some disclosure. Probably TMZ will have it before anyone else, as they always do.
Right.
But that's how I expect it will eventually come out.
Now, late last week, there was the report that Colin Kaepernick asked for at least $20 million to consider playing in the AAF, and we talked about that. And then you get this, the settlement news comes out, and you wrote about it on SI.com. But, Michael, how does the AAF request, how does that play into this?
It doesn't legally. It's outside the context of the grievance. So in the grievance, the arbitrator, Stephen Burbank, would only look at the specific allegation that Kaepernick had, which, as we understand it, is the contention that NFL teams joined hands to keep him out. So whatever money he got or could have got through Nike, through the AAF, through whatever other arrangements he might have had, is outside the scope of the grievance. So in that respect, it wouldn't have made a difference. But I think the $20 million number is interesting because if you look at his last season in the NFL, and obviously there are a lot of stats you can look to, but QB rating, I think, is a stat that a lot of people think is a meaningful number. He was 17th in the NFL in QB rating, which nowadays you would say, okay, well, you're middle of the pack quarterback. And that also would place him in salary-wise about $20 million a year if you look at salaries this season. So in a way, the $20 million matches up with what he probably thinks he would get if he was playing in the NFL, but for being what he has argued is being excluded from the league.
What effect did the CBA and the rather tenuous relationship between the NFL and the NFLPA have on this settlement?
Well, I think there's such distrust between the NFL and the NFLPA that any kind of perceived unfairness on the part of players. They think the league has done something wrong. And you don't see that in the NBA, for instance, a very different spirit of collaboration between the union and the league. Here, so some have written, well, if Kaepernick won his grievance, it would have led to termination of the CBA. That's really sort of a far-fetched, extremely implausible scenario, and I say that because Kaepernick would have to show a bunch of things, including that at least 14 teams were involved in the conspiracy, and then the NFLPA would have to have signed on to the grievance, and then they would have to elect to terminate the CBA. There are a lot of contingencies that just were unlikely to surface. So I think it was more of a fun topic to hear about, but I never thought it was really realistic.
Now, what we don't know is, and there's been different reporting on this, is in the settlement, is there anything that says Kaepernick is not going to play in the league anymore, or is he allowed to play again? Just your reaction, just from looking at all this stuff, do you think he's ever going to play in the NFL again?
Well, taking the first part, I don't think there's an exclusion clause, because his attorney, Mark Garagos, was on CNN Saturday night saying that he might sign with the team in 2 weeks. So if that clause existed, it seemed to contradict what his lawyer was saying on CNN. So I don't think I don't think he would have said it if that clause existed.
Yeah.
Secondly, yeah, I think he could sign. I think if you look at quarterbacks across the league, he's better than a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, whatever one thinks about the kneeling, and yeah, he's not Tom Brady, he's not Patrick Mahomes, but he's a lot better than some of the last half of quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the league, and certainly better than a whole bunch of backup quarterbacks. So I would think with this issue gone in terms of the grievance, that some of maybe the reluctance that teams had to reach out to him, because they worried that this would end up in the grievance proceeding if they reached out to him, that they didn't want to deal with that. With that gone, and, you know, he's 31 years old, but he doesn't have the same wear and tear as other quarterbacks. And we look at Tom Brady. He's 10 years older, and he's still a phenomenal player. So I would think that teams will reach out to him. Maybe I'm wrong, but if you just compare him to others, you would think, why not reach out to him? He's at least pretty good.
When I read your piece on SI.com, as you always do, you broke it down very down the middle. This is why the NFL probably could have settled. This is why the Kaepernick-Reed side would have been willing to settle. But as you look at this, and knowing what you know about the NFL, isn't it hard to say that Kaepernick didn't beat the National Football League in this case?
Well, I think the fact that the NFL agreed to settle is a way of winning for Kaepernick, right? That he got them to settle. So in that respect, that's a bit of a victory. We don't know the number, though. And we don't know whether the number, I mean, some have said maybe it's $80 million, some have said maybe it's $20 million. I mean, it's all over the board because no one knows, and people are speculating, in part probably to get attention, and also because they want to sort of fit a narrative that advances what they've maybe argued about the case before. And we don't know what the number is. I think if he got $80 million, then it's a huge win. If he got $20 million, it's a win, but it may not be quite as consequential because some of it would be going to his lawyers as well.
Now, we were talking about this before, and I feel like I saw, maybe it was just on Twitter, so that can be a scary way of looking at things, but some of the Kaepernick supporters were upset with him for settling. And now, we don't know how much money he got. Maybe it's a great deal of money, but there were some on that side that said they really wanted him to go all the way with this and expose the NFL. If he didn't agree to settle, what would have been the next steps in this?
Well, I think there would have been an opinion by Stephen Burbank, the arbitrator. That was the next step, and I suspect it was coming soon. I think it was probably, I'm speculating, but I would imagine it's a matter of days or weeks that the ruling would have come down, and probably the arbitrator made that clear to them as well. Arbitration is a pretty fluid process where the arbitrator can sort of give both sides information, sort of practical info. He may have been said, look, either you get a deal done now or I'm going to issue my ruling. And maybe that led them to the table where they agree, let's figure out a number that works. In terms of did he betray the movement, I mean, I don't know. Look, if someone offered somebody tens of millions of dollars and you know your lawyers are telling you chances are you'll probably lose if this goes to a ruling, why wouldn't you take it?
Right.
And also, he's donated a lot of money to charity. I mean, he could use some of this to donate to causes that he supports. So, yeah, I know some people have written that, but I think it's really unfair. And I think if they were in his shoes, they would do the same thing.
There was an interesting story last week about the possibility that there were some NFL owners, at least behind the scenes, reaching out to NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, asking what his interest level would be in becoming the commissioner of the NFL. You add to that this news at the end of the week. I don't believe Roger Goodell is in the federal witness protection program, but it does seem at times as though he is. I'm wondering what his standing is among the owners right now.
Well, I think that as long as the league keeps doing well TV-wise and franchise values continue to climb, his job security seems okay. I mean, he got through Deflategate, which even though technically the NFL won, I think was a disaster public relations-wise for the league, where you have a scientific argument that's debunked by science. The fact that they went after the best player in the league. I mean, the fact that that occurred and he got through that. And then, of course, the concussion litigation, which is a legitimately serious thing that a lot of players are not happy with the result. He got through that in a way that's financially pretty favorable for the league. I know that maybe Adam Silver would certainly be, I mean, I think he's shown himself to be a much better commissioner. I mean, just look at the national anthem issue. Every single NBA player has stood for the anthem while Adam Silver has been commissioner. This is despite being a much more diverse league, a league where many players are from outside the United States. We haven't seen this issue come up once in the NBA. I mean, that to me is so telling that they trust him and that they respect that he has said, look, please stand during the game. We have corporate sponsors that it's meaningful to. But in your own time, you can be as political as you want to be. I mean, that's a pretty commonsensical approach, and that's not an approach the NFL has taken.
Well, speaking of the NBA, Michael, you recently wrote about Rich Paul, and that's a guy who he's gotten a lot more airtime this year than he has, I think, maybe ever, certainly around here, just because he's LeBron's guy, he's Anthony Davis's guy, he's Ben Simmons's guy. And this past weekend at the NBA, it really is just tampering. It's like 48 straight hours of tampering. All these guys, I'm sure, are just, you know, figuring out how to make these super teams. But kind of an interesting gray area with Rich Paul as an agent for him to be able to speak to all these guys. But could this eventually catch up to LeBron down the road?
Yeah, that's right, Rich. He's in this netherworld where he's one of the few, as an agent, he's not governed by either the collective bargaining agreement or the league constitution. And players, owners, GMs, basically everyone, coaches, they're all subject to the anti-tampering provision, and yet an agent isn't, because an agent's licensed by the union. That's how an agent can work, is if they get a license from the union to represent players. And if he is tampering on behalf of a player, which, and I think the presumption is that it's LeBron James, that in theory could get back to LeBron James. But I would say this: no NBA player has ever been punished for tampering. Not one. And this is despite, remember Isaiah Thomas when he went to the All-Star game and said he was going to recruit players from the Celtics?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how is that not tampering? Right. Yet the NBA, you know, didn't do it. I suspect it's just because it's not really practical, given, like you just said, it's nonstop tampering. But to use an agent to do it, maybe that would spark the interest of the NBA.
Final question before we let you go. I assume you were not surprised at the word last week that the estate of Aaron Hernandez had their suit trying to get money for Aaron Hernandez's daughter was dismissed by a judge.
No, not surprised. And this is it's a long process that's going to play out, that probably will play out for a while because there will be appeals. But it's playing out as you would expect it to play out. And similarly, you know, arguments that the Patriots might be legally responsible are unlikely to advance, just because when Hernandez did those acts, he was clearly acting outside the scope of his employment. It was during the off season. So these are litigations that will play out, and I would expect that it will probably be a while before there's a complete resolution.
Michael, it's always fun to talk sports and law with you, and as I said, we're never going to run out of this stuff, ever.
No, definitely not.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.